come to pay, since debt and death was the only way. A hammer and a soldier's swing beat out redemption's sound, and from the hands that healed the sick, the blood came streaming down. And from precious veins, the sinner's chains were broken by the blood. The rusty nails shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, there awaited liberty. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets men free. Cross on Golgotha, like there was when Jesus died. And the crowd has passed away that stood and watched him crucified. 2,000 years have come and gone since that day on Calvary. But the blood that flowed from God's own Son is still setting sinners free. And from precious veins, the sinner's chains were broken by the blood. The rusty nails shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, there awaited liberty. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets men free. And from precious veins, the sinner's chains were broken by the blood. The rusty nails shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, there awaited liberty. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets men free. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets men free.
Let's take our hymnal, please. Turn to hymn number 131. Hymn number 131. Let's all stand together, please.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundation quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus. Jesus going on before on the last. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with us your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen. And you may be seated.
This time we're going to go ahead and dismiss the young people back to junior church. 5 years old through 11 years old can be dismissed back. Brother Matt Crow and his wife has a special program for you today. And we'd encourage you to head back that way. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I would encourage all the men, if you are interested in coming out to a Bible study, we're going over the book of Nehemiah. That is going to be on Thursday, June 1st, and it covers a book written by Dr. Paul Chappell called Strengthening Your Hands. We'd encourage you to pick up a book. I've got about four or five copies left. Those books are $5 a piece. If you don't have $5, I'll just go ahead and let you have it, all right? But we'd encourage you to come out. The meeting is going to be at my son's house, John's, I believe. And is that correct, John? And so that's over on State Route 105. Come on out for the time of fellowship, food, and also Bible study and prayer. It'll be a great time. It starts at 6:30 in the evening. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I want you to look, if you would please, in verse number 1 and following. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." This morning I'd like to call to your attention the Word of God, and I'd like to bring you a message entitled, Being a Good Soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, we pray, Lord, you bless your word to our hearts. And Lord, I ask and pray if there's anyone here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, that they would repent of their sins and by faith that they would go ahead and trust thee as their Savior today. I pray, Lord, that you just have your will and way in our life. I pray, Lord, that every child of God, Lord, would be challenged to live a closer life to thee. Lord, I pray that you'd just watch over us now. I pray, Lord, you'd help the Word of God to find a lodging place in our hearts. Save those that are lost. Strengthen those that are saved, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is good to see each and every one of you out today. I want to just remind you that today is Memorial Day Sunday. We see the flags that are out flying, and we see or maybe are going to be involved in a Memorial Day parade or go to one of those. And it's a great thing to be able to recognize those who have given their lives and those who are serving our country that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have today. The Bible states that we are to give honor to whom to whom honor is due, Romans chapter 13, verse number 7. Our soldiers fight the wars abroad, so hopefully we can have peace here at home. But what about the Christian soldier? Onward, Christian soldiers is what we just got done singing. And we as a child of God ought to go ahead and stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be involved in the Christian fight of the good faith. Amen. And so this morning I want to go ahead and talk to you about the Christian soldier. You see, we too are in a battle. It's not in the Middle East. It's not in Korea. It's not in the jungles of Vietnam. It's not on the beaches of Normandy. But we are in a spiritual battle. Throughout the scripture, we find in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible gives us verses about how that we're in a battle. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul reminded Timothy that he needed a good warfare. Paul told the Romans in Romans 7:23 that this battle is not really outwardly, this battle is inwardly. Matter of fact, the worst battle that we face is when we get up in the morning and we look in the mirror and we see ourselves, we have to fight with ourselves about doing the right thing. In Romans chapter 7 and verse number 23, the Apostle Paul said this, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." You see, the Apostle Paul had to deal with the flesh, and he was at war with the battle with the flesh all the time, just like you and I have to battle with the flesh. It's an inward battle. He told the church of Ephesus that they are in a battle against invisible foes. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Listen, folks, we are in a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil every day. And as a child of God, as I yield myself to the Lord, I can have victory. The Bible tells us that our weapons are spiritual. They're not carnal. And it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ." And as we're in this warfare, we are going to go through some temporary afflictions. I see our men and our women come back from overseas, and many times they return home without limbs, in wheelchairs. And for those that we know that have suffered greatly in the military and some that have given their lives, listen, the Bible says it's only a temporary affliction. And the problems that we have in this world are only temporary. In Galatians chapter number 6 and verse 17, it says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." The Apostle Paul was beaten, and he was left for dead in the city of Lystra. And he said, if it would have been possible, I would have plucked up my own eyes and would have given them to you. The Apostle Paul was beaten with a cat of nine tails on several different occasions, and his body was scarred, and some people believe that he actually lost his eyesight through these scourgings and these beatings. But he said to the church of Corinth, he said, "Our light afflictions is but for a moment, which worketh a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And so the problems that we have in this world are only temporary. Friday, I was up to see one of our new converts, and she had come down sick. She was saved about 5 weeks ago, was baptized, and yesterday about 4:30 in the afternoon, she went home to be with the Lord. I was there to visit Heather Sutton on Friday, and I looked at her and I said, "Heather, I said, if God heals you, you win. And if God takes you home to heaven, you win." And I said, either way, you win. You pray for her family. She's got two teenage boys and she's got two little girls. And their mama left them. And I told her, I says, "Heather, I says, you win." And she said, looked at me and she smiled and she says, "I win." And then she got real serious and she said, "But what about my children?" I said, "The same God that loves you and takes care of you and me is going to take care of them too." Amen. You know, this world, we've got some temporary afflictions that we have to go through. But this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And one day the angels of God are going to beckon each and every one of us, and we need to be ready and prepared to meet our Maker. Amen? I'm glad that about 5 weeks ago she walked down this aisle and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and her name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, which will never be erased. Amen. Listen, as a Christian soldier, we have eternal consequences. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're in a battle over the hearts of men, a battle for our children, a battle for the souls of men, a battle against time, a battle that is going to last or end up in eternity. Thank God through Jesus Christ we can be victorious. The long war will be won. But how will you fare in the battle? How are you going to fare? Are you going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou in the joy of the Lord? Or is he going to look at you and say, depart from me that work iniquity, I never knew you? Just what are the marks of being a good soldier? I jotted some things down out of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I don't know about you, but I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. I want to have the marks of a good soldier. In order to have the marks of a good soldier, I have to have the marks of a good Christian. There's a lot of people that know the Lord as their Savior, but unfortunately, they've sold out to the enemy and they're living for the world. God has called us to press on to a higher ground. As a child of God, he wants us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and not live like the world would want us to live. So this morning, I want you to notice verse number 1, and I want you to notice the marks of a good soldier. Number 1, the mark of a good soldier is this: he knows his commander in chief. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This battle that we are in is so fierce, and this battle that we are in is so uncertain. You better know the commander in chief. Because if you step into eternity and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. We need to realize that all of life is vain unless you know the Lord is your Savior. There are many people today, they have the idea that religion is going to get them into heaven. It didn't work for Nicodemus. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus he had to be born again. He had to have a relationship with the Lord. And here we need to understand that you need to go ahead and know the commander in chief. Verse number 1, it says, the grace that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, they're saved. They're enlisted in God's army. As a person that knows the commander in chief, he doesn't just act like it. He truly is what he says he is. A number of years ago, there was a man that was going around the country and he was impersonating. And he did all kinds of it. He would go into places of business and he would impersonate these individuals. Finally, he read up on how to do surgeries and he pawned himself off and got into a hospital with these fake degrees. And he actually performed surgeries. And the guy didn't even have, I think he had a high school education, that was it. But he was an imposter. I don't know about you, but for me, if I was going to have brain surgery, I want a bona fide brain surgeon. Amen? Amen. If I'm going to have something done and they're going to cut me open, I want to make sure that I've got someone that knows what they're doing. Listen, a Christian soldier knows his commander in chief. He is not just an imposter. A soldier of Jesus Christ is truly saved. I was out knocking on some doors a number of years ago, and I came across a minister's home. I had no idea it was a minister's home, but it was a minister here in Oak Harbor, and his wife answered the door, and so I pulled out a gospel tract and I said, "Hello," I said, "I'm the pastor of Grace Baptist Church, just passing out some literature." I said, I introduced who I was, and I said, Very important question. I said, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And she stepped back and she said, I better. I'm the wife of so-and-so's church. And I'll not mention the church, but listen, just because she was the wife of the minister of a church here in town doesn't automatically get her a get-out-of-jail-free card. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. You got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The marks of a good soldier is that he knows his commander-in-chief. He's truly saved. And listen, there is a lot of lost ministers that are out there. Look at Matthew chapter number 7, if you would, please. And I want you to take your Bible and turn there. But in Matthew chapter number 7, and I want you to notice what the Scripture has to say. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In other words, they have preached in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse number 22. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. They preached about Jesus. They did miracles in Jesus' name. They did all kinds of great works in Jesus' name. Notice what Jesus said to them. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice what it says in verse 22. Many will say. Who's the many? The many are the lost. Lost ministers that don't know the Lord. In my daily devotions, I was reading through 1 Samuel the other day, and I come across the passage where it talked about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And it made a statement. They were priests of the Lord, but it says, they knew not the Lord. They were serving God in the temple, but the Bible says they were sons of Belial, sons of mischief, and they knew not the Lord. Just because someone stands behind a pulpit or someone wears a collar or a necktie and they open up the Bible doesn't mean that they're on their way to heaven. Because many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And he's going to say, I never knew you. The Christian soldier, number one, he knows his commander in chief. Look at verse number two. Verse number two, the Christian soldier is committed to his commander. He is committed to his commander in chief, who is Jesus Christ. It says there in verse number two, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful to Jesus Christ. I think of a young boy by the name of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and verse number 9, when the Lord spoke to him, he responded this way. And he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I was talking to a man not long ago, and he said, you know, we're having trouble getting volunteers at the church. He goes to a different church. And I told him, I said, you know what? God's not looking for volunteers. God's looking for servants. Amen. Amen. You can volunteer all you want, but listen, what we really need are servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone will say, you know what? It doesn't make any difference what I have to do. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, I'm willing to do it. Amen. You know, there's not a whole lot of glory in cleaning a toilet. Amen. But it has to be done. You don't get a whole lot of glory by mowing grass and running a weed whacker, but it has to be done. We just need some servants for the Lord. Amen. The psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord and dwell in the tents of wickedness. David just was happy just to serve the Lord. The Christian soldier ought to be committed to Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthian church that we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent who the Lord is. As an ambassador, he told us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and tell others. The gospel needs to go beyond these four walls. Yesterday we had about 10 individuals going out knocking on doors and passing out church flyers. You may have got one on your door. Matter of fact, I know that some of you did because I knocked on your door personally. I says, I know who lives here, but they weren't home. The Christian soldier ought to be committed to Jesus Christ. Number three, look at verse number three. Look what the Word of God has to say. Thou therefore, he's talking to Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher. He was despised because of his youth. He says there to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a reason why we put our young men and our young women through boot camp. We're trying to create a little toughness in them. Trying to get them a little bit hard. That way, when they're in the midst of battle, they won't start crying and call home to mommy. Amen? They need to have a little hardness about themselves. The Bible says that they need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the righteous judge is going to give him in that day. Listen, we need to have a little hardness about ourselves. Too many Christians are just falling by the wayside because somebody looks at them cross-eyed. You'd be surprised at the excuses I hear that people tell me why they don't go to church and why they don't serve the Lord anymore. I could write a book. I really could. One elderly gentleman said, I can't go back to church anymore. So-and-so looked at me. She played the organ and at our church, and she was just playing and just kind of staring off into space. Well, he was in her line of sight. He says, she was staring at me. I says, don't worry. I says, she's on medication. That's why she's just drifting off into space, you know, and she's playing and happy, you know. But he says, I can't come back. I says, it's okay. It's all right, you know. I says, don't quit on God over something like that. Amen. I know of a woman that quit going to church because somebody promised her a jar of jelly. And she didn't get it. She actually was confronted with it. She walked through the door with this other person's jar of jelly. And this didn't happen here. It was someplace else, all right? And she got cut off at the pass. And someone had said, hey, is that your famous jelly? I sure would like to have it. And she talked her out of it. And then the other lady found out that she gave her jar of jelly away. So both of them quit on the Lord. How foolish. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we look at him, the one that has his hands pierced and the thorns prints in his brow, we're going to look at the Lord and say, well, you know what? I quit on you because of a jar of jelly. That's going to be pretty pathetic. We need to endure hardness. Listen, if we get bit, do like the Apostle Paul did in the book of Acts. He just shook it off and then go on and serve God. Shake off the hurt feelings. Shake off the pride. Some people get mad. The preacher never listens to me. I didn't know I was supposed to listen to you folks. I thought I was supposed to listen to God. Amen. Christians quit. Difficulties arise. Financial problems arise. They just quit on God. We need to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number four. A Christian soldier needs to maintain distinction from the world. Brother Gary's in the army, and there are times when Brother Deal will come in here, and he'll be dressed in his uniform. And he'll come right from his guard work, and he'll come in here. And Mark, he was in here just this past week with his uniform on. You know, that identifies him as a soldier. Amen. Amen. Soldiers wear a uniform to identify what side he is on. I believe the way that we display ourselves as a Christian identifies who we are. Amen? The clothing we wear, the jewelry we have, God forbid the body markings we have, they identify who we are serving. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says that we are to be clothed with humility. In Romans 13, verse number 12, it says, let us put on the armor of light. In Ephesians 4:24, it says, let us put on the new man. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, let us put on the whole armor of God. In Colossians 3:10, let us have, and having put on the new man, which is renewed after the knowledge of the image of him that created him. In Colossians 3:12, put on therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. In Colossians 3:14, it says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The child of God ought to put these things on. They will identify you as far as who you are. Amen? And by the way, if you'll go ahead and let God change the inside, it will overflow to the outside. Amen? Now I want you to look at verse number 4. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself against the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The Christian soldier not only maintains distinction from the world, but the Christian soldier maintains separation from the world. No entanglements. Well, we've read a lot about that stuff recently with our government. People being involved in things and getting money kickbacks. By the way, it hasn't just happened under the Trump administration. It's been happening for years. And we need to go ahead and fire all those guys. I'm all for draining the swamp, and I'm willing to pull the plug. I'll even go ahead and put a bilge pump in there and get it out faster. But we need to understand that we ought to have no entanglements. They ought to have a law. And this is let me meddle for a while instead of preach, all right? They ought to have a law that our politicians go to Washington and they serve their term and then they go back and get a regular job. And while they're there, they go ahead and serve our country. We pay them a salary, and when they get out, they get no retirement program. Let them go back and work under the same laws that they passed for us to live under. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, you ought to run for politics. No, thank you. Spurgeon said, if God called you to be to preach, don't stoop to be a king. And so I think I'll just go ahead and preach. No entanglements. We ought to maintain a separation from the world. No entanglements. And the word entanglements mean to be entwined, involved with. We need to be aware of political and social engagements. Now listen, the child of God, I think we need to persuade the king, as it says in the book of Proverbs. But sometimes Christians will get so involved in the government work, they forget their real purpose, and that is to win people to Jesus Christ. The word affairs there in verse number 4 is in reference to negotiations or transactions. Listen, we've got better transactions to be involved in, and that's the souls of men, not earthly politics. Don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for the Daniels of this world. And I'm thankful for the Solomons of this world. And I'm thankful for those that love the Lord and know the Lord and are involved in our government. Thank the Lord for them. But if God's called you to preach, don't stoop to be a king. Number 6, I want you to notice the Christian soldier ought to have singleness of purpose. One of the problems in our military today, there has been no clear-cut objectives given to them. Men were sent to Korea and men were sent to Vietnam, and war was never declared. It was a police action. It was a police-keeping movement. And thousands of young men and women died in those military actions, and yet their hands were tied in the process. There's something wrong with all of that. Listen, if you're going to turn a pit bull loose, don't leave him on a chain. Amen? Let him do his job. Our military needs to be able to do their job. Don't let them have a noose around their neck and a chain around their neck. The Christian soldier ought to have singleness of purpose. It says to please Him. We're to please Him. Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, "That I might know Him." Singleness of purpose. The Bible says, "If thine eye be single and full of light," how great is that light? We need to have singleness of purpose. Many Christians get into trouble because they come to know the Lord as their Savior, and all of a sudden they get off on this tangent, and they get off on this tangent, and they start doing this, and they start doing that, and all of a sudden the Lord is not even second place. He's way down the list. A Christian soldier ought to have singleness of purpose. Our purpose as a child of God is to glorify Him. Amen. And to enjoy Him forever. Yes. That's our purpose. And finally, let me close with this. Look at verse 4. The last part of verse 4. It says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I don't understand why God would choose me. I'm just a wicked sinner. I really, it gets right down to it, I deserve to go to hell. There is nothing in me that's good. Oh, I try to do what's right. But compared to God and compared to His holiness, we are all nothing. And that's why the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's why the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." That's why Isaiah the prophet said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." I don't understand why God chose me. If you take a good look and take a good assessment of yourself, and if you're trying to serve the Lord, you probably say, "You know what? I don't know why God would use somebody like me either." Amen. And once you get that attitude, that's when He'll start using you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Christian soldiers should be humbled that he has been chosen to serve the Master. How's the battle going? Do you have the marks of a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Have you obtained victory for your soul through the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ? Has there been a point in time in your life when you realized that you were lost without Christ? You realized that there was a payment for your sin, which is separation from God? And you bowed your head and your heart before the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, I'm a wicked sinner, and save me in Jesus' name." Has there been a time in your life when you've done that? If not, you ought to do that this morning. That's the only way you can have victory. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. But as a child of God, I need to have victory on a daily basis. And I can have that as I yield myself to Him. When you get up in the morning and you pray and say, "Lord, here I am. I need to walk with you. I need to talk with you. Let my words be your words, or your words my words. Let my actions be your actions, Lord." And as we humbly submit our mind and our voice and our actions, as we humbly submit those to the Lord, we can have victory daily. The question this morning is, have you surrendered yourself to the Master? Have you surrendered your soul to Him? Have you given Him your life as a Christian? Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask a simple question. It's the question that I asked of that minister's wife. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? About 4 or 5 weeks ago, that question was asked to Heather as she came forward, and she didn't know, but she made sure before she left. Friday, she said, after I said, if you God takes you, you win. If God heals you, you win. I says, either way, you win. I says, it's all because of Jesus Christ. And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, I win. Today you can win by trusting Jesus Christ. How many here with an uplifted hand could say, preacher, I need to give my heart to the Lord. I've never done that. I've never been saved. I've never been born again. I'm not saved. I wish you'd pray for me. Could I see your hand this morning? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? How many here with an uplifted hand could say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. There's been a time in my life when I've trusted Christ as my Savior. But I need to start doing what the Master says. And I need to start living for Him. Can I see your hand this morning? Amen. God bless you. All over the auditorium. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And as I pray, if the Lord has spoken to you, I'd encourage you. Why don't you gather around the front and let's pray. If you know the Lord, take those burdens that are holding you back and give them to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord's service. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, come and let someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven. Let's all stand, please, to our feet with every head bowed and every eye closed. And let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray for these that raise their hands. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just move among the people that are here. And Lord, that you would just prick them and convince them of their need of the Savior. Lord, I often have thought what would have happened if Heather would have put it off. And Lord, life is so uncertain. While there's opportunity, Lord, help people to get it taken care of. Lord, save those that are lost. And Lord, those that are saved, help us, Lord, to get enlisted in the Christian army and serve the King. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as the instruments play through verse of invitation,